Today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Zayin, and we are at the second wide line on Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shleima for Yair Yehoshua Ben Chaya Atara, Shloima Ben Chaya Leia, and Chava Miriam Basmalka Freda. We're concluding really a very long digression. Here in the Gemara's in the beginning of Perek Chelek, where the Gemara got involved in different episodes in Nach. Initially, we spoke about the Mesim Shehechke Yecheskel, Hanani Mishal Vazariah, who didn't want to bow down to the Talmud of Nebuchadnezzar. We spoke at great length about the story of Sancheriv and Chizkio, a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzradan, his chief executioner, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. So we just have a little bit more Gemara related to some Nach, and then we're going to return to our regular program, which is Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Leilam Abba. Sokti Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Namon Ger Toshav Hoyo, Namon of Nach fame was a Ger Toshav. Nevuzradon Ger Tzedek Hoyo. So Nevuzradon became a Ger Tzedek. The details of it were discussed in the Gemara previously. Mibnei Bonav Shal Sisra Lamdu Torah B'Yushalayim. Sisra's grandchildren were Megayer, and as a matter of fact, they learned Torah in Yerushalayim. Mibnei Banav Shal Sancheriv Limdu Torah Barabim. Sancheriv's grandchildren were even greater. They were Megayer, and they taught Torah Barabim. Umanin, who says the Gemara, can even tell you who they are. Shmayev Avtalion, the Rebbe of Shabbat and Hillel. So Shmayev Avtalion, they were Mibnei Banav Shal Sancheriv. Mibnei Banav Shal Haman Limdu Torah B'Fnei Barak. Haman's grandchildren were also Megayer. They're learning Torah B'Fnei Barak. Va'atim Mibnei Banav Shal Eisra Shabbat 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 Says the Gemara that really Nebuchadnezzar had descendants that also wanted to be Megayer, and they also wanted to come Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. And Hainu Dichs, what happened? Amr Malachi Asharas of Tanya Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mi Shehichur Bes Peisecha, Vesaref Aseicha Lecha, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina? How could you allow Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, him and his family enter Klal Yisrael? No way! Nevuzradon, he was following orders. Sancheriv, maybe. But Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he was successful. No way in the world. We can't allow him in. And Hainu Dechsev, that's Pshat in the Pasuk, that says, Ripinu as Bavel, Velei Nir Pasa, that Bavel tried having a refuah, referring to the king of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, whose descendants wanted to enter Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, but Velei Nir Pasa, because of the argument of the Malachi Asharis, they weren't allowed it. Ula Amar, Ula says a different Pshat, Zen Nebuchadnezzar, that's really referring to that pasuk of the Nairis Bavel, that the Tirgama, and the way he explained it was the Tzinaisa Tredosa de Bavloi. So apparently the Nairis Bavel were very bitter and they didn't have a refuah, they remained that way. The Masha says that that's Pshat in the pasuk al Nairis Bavel Shom Yashavnu Gam Bochinu Bezochreinu Asiyah, that the Yidin are in Bavel and they're drinking from the waters, and the waters are very bitter. So al Nairis Bavel Shom Yashavnu Gam Bochinu Bezochreinu Asiyah, and when they remembered the sweet waters of Tzion. But either way, so a rather well-known Gemara, at least parts of it, where the Gemara says that Bnei Banav Shal Sisra Lamdu Torah B'Yerushalayim, Bnei Banav Shal Sancheriv Limdu Torah B'Rabim, Umaninu Shmayev Avtalion, Bnei Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'Bnei Brak. So just two Ha'aretz. Number one, the Gemara says, Bnei Banav Shal Sancheriv that will Limdu Torah B'Rabim, we know who they are, the Shmayev Avtalion. The Bnei Banav Shal Sisra that are learning Torah B'Yerushalayim, that the Gemara doesn't give a name. Stating that, the Chida in the Sefer brings from the Ramami Pano, who said that you know who Bnei Banav Shal Sisra was? It was none other than the great Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came from Sisra. He said that we all know the story of Sisra and Yael. We discussed it in the daf not so long ago. But the Gemara says that Yael was nivalot to Sisra 7 times. The Gemara Nazar daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. She did it lishma. The Gemara says gedayla aver lishma kim mitzvah lishma. Maybe even greater than a mitzvah lishma. And at that night, when she was nivalot to Sisra, she became pregnant. And she gave birth to a child who would be the Elta Zeda of none other than Rabbi Akiva. So the Ilum discussed this afternoon when we learned the Gemara on Shabbos that Lechura, to the extent that Yael was a Yid, so it would make Rabbi Akiva at the very least be the son of Yidden. Don't we know that Rabbi Akiva came from Gerim? So really, it's totally in the Machlokes in the Gemara. Evet v'kuti abba bas Yisrael, avlad kosher, avlad posel. So that's raid when you learn Yevamis, when you learn Sugyas, not for Perek Chelek. But either way, so said Ramami Pano, you want to know who Bnei Bon of Shal Sistro is, that's Lamdu Torah B'Yerushalayim, it's none other than Rabbi Akiva. So the Margolis Yami makes a nice diak. He says that by Sancheriv, it says, Bnei Bon of Shal Sancheriv Limdu Torah. They taught Torah. The Bnei Bon of Shal Sistro, it sounds like only were Lamdu Torah. They only learned Torah to the extent that who is it? It's Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva wasn't just a Loimei Torah, Rabbi Akiva was a Malami Torah. So why does it say Bnei Bon of Shal Sistro will only Lamdu Torah B'Yerushalayim? L'churit should say Bnei Bon of Shal Sistro Limdu Torah B'Yerushalayim, just like it says Bnei Bon of Shal Sancheriv were Limdu Torah B'Rabban. The Margolis Hayam says that maybe you have to say that the Gemara says Lamdu Torah B'Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, Rabbi Akiva only learned Torah. Where did Rabbi Akiva teach Torah? Bnei Brak. That's where his yeshiva was. See, he was a Loimei Torah B'Yerushalayim. He was a Melamei Torah Bnei Brak. So as it relates to Yerushalayim, it was Lamdu Torah B'Yerushalayim. And Chanami, he was a Melamei Torah also. But this that Rabbi Akiva taught Torah was a Bnei Brak. I'll just tell you that here, when you learn Sanhedrin, Sadik Vav Amud Beis, so it's a Chida who brings it, B'Shem Dir Amami Panu, the Ben Yoyada also brings it, but the truth is, it's already from earlier sources than the Amami Panu. Rav Nissen Goyen, Mesechtes Brochas, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the context over there is the well-known Gemara where Rabbi Gamliel was ousted from his Nesios, and they had to replace him, they weren't sure who to replace him with, and apparently Rabbi Akiva was one of the top candidates. His resume was as good, if not better, than anybody else's resume, and really, he should have been the next Nasi, but the Gemara says they didn't want him to be the Nasi. Why? Because he didn't have Schosavis. Because he came from Einu Yehudim. Says Rabbeinu Nissim, how do we know that Rabbi Akiva came from Einu Yehudim? So he says it's the Gemara in Perek Chelek. The Gemara says, Yisab Sanhedrin Perek Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Taf Tzadik Vava Midbeis Mibnei Bonav Shol Sisra Lamdu Torah B'Yerushalayim Uman Inun Rabbi Akiva. So he has a Mefurish Gemara. So apparently there was a Girsa that the Gemara said Mefurish, that who was it? Rabbi Akiva. The other obvious aura that you have to ask on this Gemara, V'kame Kumasim Nishtabru, to explain, Mibnei Bonav Shol Haman Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak. What in the world did Haman do to deserve that he should have Enoch that are sitting and learning and they're in Koilel? B'nei Brak. That's where Haman's Enoch ended up going. So the truth is, there's a halachic problem with it as well, because Eim Kablin Geirim Me'a Molik. But forget the halacha. From a hashkafic standpoint, how do you understand why would the hashkacha be mesoivev that Haman's Enoch should end up learning Torah in B'nei Brak? So the Velt says, everyone seems to say the same teretz in their own nusach, but the gist of it is that Haman, despite the fact that he was a really bad guy, he was a monster, he was imposed one of the worst gzeiras, a final solution, so to speak. But at the same time, through Haman, a lot of good things came. Number one, a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. The idea that even when the Yidden are in Golus, Afilu behester panim, v'noichi aster haster, but that's Esther menater minayin. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over us at all times. Hadir kiblu avimeach hashvesh. These were all things that happened as a result of the gzeir. Like Yudim Aysa oira v'simcha v'sasa v'yikar. So Haman, despite the fact that he had all the wrong intentions, and despite the fact that he was a Rosh Merushar, he was Arur Haman, but at the same time, tremendous good came from Haman. And as a result, Haman plays a role in so much toif, he has to get rewarded for it. And his reward was, Bnei Bonav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'Nei Brak. The Chassidim say over that the Baditcher Rebbe used to say that he's jealous of Paroi. He's jealous of Paroi for all the schar that Paroi is going to get for the role that he played in the Nisim and the Flights that happened to Shas Yitzias Mitzrayim. Despite the fact that Paroi had all the wrong intentions and he never had anything good in mind. But Lamais, at the end of the day, a tremendous Kiddush Hashem came from Paroi. A tremendous Kiddush Hashem came from Haman. Ve'ina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Berya Ve'Berya. And it's for that reason they had to be rewarded. And the way Haman was rewarded was Bnei Bonav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'Bnei Brak. Either way, Zokti Gemara Vaito Amarulo Amanu Moyev at the time that Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan Bavel destroyed the first base of Mikdash, Amon Umayyav were really bad neighbors for the Yidden, and they played a role in Churban Beis HaMikdash. Also, keeping the Shemitah Levi, the Kovas and Abed, the Churban of Yerushalayim, they heard that the Jewish prophets, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, were saying Nebuah, that one day the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Now they knew that they didn't have the firepower to destroy the Beis HaMikdash themselves, but they wanted the job to get done. So Sholchun and Nebuchadnezzar, they figured they'll broker the deal. So they reach out to Nebuchadnezzar, you apparently have deeper pockets than we do. Is this a deal for you? Do you want to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Pukveta. Amar, and Nebuchadnezzar thought about it. He got back to them and he said, I don't think it's such a good idea. He says, why? Because if you know a little bit about world history, you know that there was someone called Sancheir who tried laying siege to Jerusalem, and Hashem performed tremendous miracles. An army of 185,000 officers, 2.6 billion minus one, were all killed. So Mistafina, he said, I'm worried. I don't want Hashem to do to me what he did to Sancheir. Shalchalei, they told him, times have changed. He says, the times of Sancheir, at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was resting Gishchin in the Beis HaMikdash, very dangerous times. But now the Ish is no longer in his bias. But he told him, I understand, maybe God's presence currently is not in the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, there's basis to that taina. Gemara Bracha says that Esem HaSoy is Nasa Shechina. Already in the times of Yeshio, the Shechina, to a degree, had already left the Beis HaMikdash. But Nebuchadnezzar countered and said, he's probably close by. I don't think it's a big deal. If he hears noise in the Beis HaMikdash, he'll come back. Shalchalei, they told him, Halach b'derech me'rachik. No, he's really far. Shalchalei, he told him, Islu tzadikim debo rachmi ma'isli. But I know that tzadikim in the Jewish nation, they made daven and caused the Shechina to come back. Shalchalei, tzra kesef lakach b'yadoi. The money of Klal Yisrael is no longer there. The in kesef al tzadikim shenemar the ek reho li bechamisha also kosev v'chimer soyin v'lesach zayir. Shalachlu, we told him, hadu rashi b'tshuva. I understand there's no tzadikim right now, but the ones that aren't tzadikim, in other words, the rishayim kedu tshuva ubo rachmi ma'isul, then del davin, and that will cause the shechina to come back. Meaning, at the end of the day, this is a very risky proposition. Shalchule, so Amun Umayev told him kvar kova lehem zman shenemar liyon kese yovoy leveisoy. In Kessel, as man shenema, but Kessel yem chagenu. There's a time where this space on Mikdash is going to be destroyed. Someone's going to destroy it. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm giving you the opportunity. If not, someone else is going to take it. Shalach lu. But Nebuchadnezzar still wasn't convinced. He said, Sisfahu, the weather isn't good right now. Right? If you learn a little bit about world history, military history, weather played a tremendous role in the successes of wars. So he said, I'm afraid I'm going to go attack the Jews now during the winter. It's not smart. We're going to get stuck in snow. We're going to get stuck in rain. Too risky. Shochulei, so Amun Umayev told him back, Ta Ashina de Tura. He says, no, I can map it out for you. I'll tell you exactly how to go. You'll be able to bypass all the inclement weather. You'll be successful. Shenemar, Shilchu Kar, Moishel Eretz, Misala Midbar, El Har Basiyan. Sholach Lehu. But he said, I'm still not sure. Because Iyasina, Leslie Duchta de Yosivnebe, need a nice hotel. Where am I going to stay? Shochulei, they told him, Kvare Shalehem, Ulam Yipalkin Shalcha. He says, trust me, Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful land. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that the caves where they bury their Mason is more chashuv than your palace. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, "Ba'isahi lo'ma Hashem yoytziu es atzmis malchi Yehuda, ves atzmis sorev, ves atzmis akihane, ves atzmis anaviyah, ves atzmis reish v'yisholai mikivreim u'shtochum la'shemesh v'leirech chotzva shemaim asher ahivim v'asher avodim v'asher holchu achareim." Then Nebuchadnezzar comes there to Yisrael. What does he do? He empties out the kvarois, the caves where all the tzaddikim were buried, and he used it. You see that he taka listened to what Amun Umayyav said, and that was where he ended up residing. Either way, you see from this Gemara that despite the fact that it was Bavel that destroyed the first base of Mikdash, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzradan, and his army, but at the same time, Amun Umayyav played a role as well. It's interesting, it's Yidua from the Vilna Gaon. We say in Al Naru's Bavel, Shom Yashavnu Gam Bochino Bezachreinu Asiyon, Zechayr Hashem Livnei Edoim, Es Yoim Yerushalayim Ha'oimrim Aru Aru, Ada Yisoid Ba. The Goyen asks that where does Edom come into Al Naru's Bavel? Al Naru's Bavel, the Chura is talking about Churban Bayis Rishon. Bavel destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. So where does Chayr Hashem Livnei Edom come? Edom is Roymi, descendants of Esav. They destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So Ma'in Yishmita Eitzel Har Sinai. So the Vilna Goyen said a tremendous chiddush, something that you haven't been the Vilna Goyen to say. He said it's true that Bavel destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, but Nebuchadnezzar raised the Beis HaMikdash to the ground. R-A-Z-E. He raised it down to the ground and then he left. But the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash was still intact. Edom, who lived right next to Eretz Yisrael, they came in and they danced on the party. They finished the job. And they uprooted the Yisoid, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. So Bavel, it's true, Al-Nari's Bavel, they're the ones that destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. But Zechayr Hashem Livnei Edom, Esiyoim Yerushalayim Ha'omrim, Aru, Aru ad Ayesoidba. They destroyed the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. So the truth is that Bavel is the one that's credited for Churban Beis HaMikdash, but Amun Umayyah played a role. Edom played a role. Regardless, that concludes this part of Perek Chelek, and we now return to our regular program, and that is Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek V'Olam Haba. So in the beginning of the Masechta, or in the beginning of the Perek, I should say, we discussed Olam Haba, Achlokes Rishonim, Rav Rishonim on one side, the Rambam on the other side. What the definition of Olam Haba is. Rishonim say Olam Haba is the Olam HaTchiyah, that at some point there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, and when everybody gets up, they're going to live in a world that's different than the world we live in right now. That world is Olam Haba. It's a world that's going to come. It's a world that exists in the future. They based it on the Gemara at the beginning of Perek Chelek. Ha'imer ain't Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah doesn't have a Chelek in Olam Haba. And the Gemara said, Mita Keneged Mita. He was Kofer in Tchias HaMeisim. He's not going to have a Chelek in Tchias HaMeisim. At first glance, what are you talking about? One is Tchias HaMeisim, one is Olam Haba. So you say Meris, it's the same thing. Rambam argues, Rambam says, Olam Haba is the Olam HaNeshamas. Olam HaTchia L'chud, V'Olam Haba L'chud. Regardless, we had Gemaras that discuss Tchias HaMeisim, Olam Haba. Now, for the next few days, we're going to discuss Yemois HaMashiach, says the Gemara. Amar le Rav Nachman le Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman told Rav Yitzchak, Mishmielach, do you have any inside information? Emas Asi Bar Nafli, when Bar Nafli is coming to come? Amar le, so he told him, I'm Bar Nafli. Who's Bar Nafli? Amar le Mashiach. Mashiach is Bar Nafli. So I told him, Mashiach, Bar Nafli, Karasle, why are you referring to Mashiach as Bar Nafli? Amar le, in, dechsi vayemahu okim as sukas doven hamefal. So we just finished sukas. Harachim amu yakim lanu as sukas doven hamefal. What are you talking about? So we're talking about a sukkah? Sounds like it. You say it on sukkahs, right? That's not what it means. Sukkahs David on his fellow, Zokta Heliger Rashi, Malchus David Shanafla. It means Malchus David. So Malchus David is referred to as Sukkahs David, Hanoifales, which unfortunately we don't have right now. It fell to the ground. Mashiach is going to be Mashiach ben David. So it's for that reason, said Rabbi Yitzchak, yeah, we refer to Mashiach as Bar Nafli. But bottom line is, Rav Nachman asked Rabbi Yitzchak, do you know a Masai, when exactly Bar Nafli is going to come? Amalesi told him, I can tell you what Rabbi Yechanan said. Hachim Rabbi Yechanan, Doshim Adavid Ba, the generation when Mashiach is going to come, Boi Talmidei Chachamim Mismatim. They're going to be less Talmidei Chachamim. The Hashar, and the people that aren't Talmidei Chachamim, Einayim Kolois, their eyes are going to be filled with Yogoin and Anocho. Vitzoreis Rabbois, Vigzeroes Koshes, Mischachois. They're going to be terrible Gzeroes. Acha Rishoina, Pekuda, Shnina, Maharas, Lovely. In fact, people are going to go from one Tzara to another Tzara. In other words, he said that, you know, I can't tell you what exactly Mashiach is coming, but I do have a Mesorah from Rabbi Yochanan that in the door that Mashiach is going to come, number one, there's going to be a shortage of Talmidei Chachamim, and number two, there's going to be terrible Tzaras. So, the Gemara Tana the Shemitah, the 7-year cycle that's going to precede the coming of Mashiach, because at the first year, the following pasuk is going to be true. So in one city, the economy is going to be good. The entirety of the Rachas. In the other city, it's not going to be so good. Shnia, the second year of the Shemitah cycle, Chitzei Rav Mishalchem. There's going to be a real hunger. Shlishis Rav Goda. It's going to be a significant hunger. Umesim, and people are going to die. Anoshim v'noshim v'taf. Chasidim v'anshei maisa. Not just that, but Torah v'shtakachas v'lamdeh. Torah is going to be forgotten. Previous, the fourth year of the cycle, Seiveya v'ene Seiveya. The economy is going to pick up. It's going to be good, but not great. B'chamishas, the fifth year, it's going to be booming. The stock market's going to be reaching all-time highs. Soiva Godol. V'ichlin, v'shoysin, v'smeichin, v'toyra chayzeres l'lemda. And Torah's even going to come back. Torah's going to rebound. B'shishas, the sixth year, koylois, Rashi says, either koylois, that Mashiach's coming, or the v'hoya b'yay mahu yitoka b'shoyfer gadol. B'shvias, v'chomis, the second, seventh year, there's going to be wars. B'mitzoy, shvias, ben David ba. The mitzoy, that shvias, ben David's going to come. So obviously, this is all way above our pay grade. But one thing I think you could take away from this Gemara, it sounds like things are going to be changing really quickly. It's unbelievable. One year there's going to be a hunger, then there's going to be a soiva, a little bit of a soiva, Torah's going to be forgotten, Torah's going to be remembered, economy's going to be booming, then there's going to be wars. So it sounds like just the pace of the world, things that usually would take generations to move, are going to suddenly happen instantly. Right? We live in a very, very fast-changing world. But either way, says the Gemara, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef commented, HaKamet Shvias Tahavakein V'Loyasa. I think there have been other Shviases that mimicked this, and Mashiach didn't come, Rabbi Abaya, B'Shishas Koyim, Kivos b'shvias Muhammad may have it. Really, you remember there being koilos that Mashiach's coming. You remember v'hoye v'yemahu yitaka b'shefer gadol, and then it was followed by wars that you don't remember. V'oit kisidra may have it. And this say that you remember it happening. Either way, didn't happen yet. That's why Mashiach didn't come yet. So the next line of the Gemara is in parentheses, and it's really a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Peites. Asherfu oivecha Hashem, asherfu ikvois mishichecha. You have the immortal words here. Ikvois in the mishicha. Ikvois mishichecha. But asherfu oivecha Hashem, asherfu. And then the Gemara goes vaiten. The Gemara doesn't do anything with this pasuk, and for that reason, some are moichik it. Some say it doesn't belong to it because the Gemara doesn't just quote pesukim. The Gemara will quote a pasuk. And if there's some Torah Shabbat Peh, if there's something to darshan on that pasuk. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Lo yisparish haikro l'may ichtavacha. It's like kadarish beimidi. The Gemara's not darshaning anything. V'nira l'moiri, Rashi says, I heard from my Rebbe, shekei michta besvarim tchila, that the Gemara is supposed to say something that it says somewhere else, and that is a mesech to soite daf mentes on the base. Be'ikvas ha-mashiach chutzpah yaska. That before Mashiach comes, in that door, there's going to be a lot of chutzpah in the world. And the Gemara therefore is bringing this pasuk to demonstrate that Asher cherfu oivecha Hashem Asher cherfu. Cherfu is miloshen mecharifu megadev, and then it says ikvos mishichecha. Then el dar before Mashiach comes, in the ikvos of the mishicha, there's going to be a tremendous amount of chutzpah. I saw that Rabbi Chanan famously wrote a chibur called ikvos of the mishicha. It's quoted in Kovetz Mamorim, the whole arichos. It's two, but either way, Rabbi Chanan wrote a chibur called Ikvas the Mashicha. And he goes through a lot of different simonim of Ikvas the Mashicha. One of the things he mentions is this idea that Ikvas HaMashiach chutz b'yaska. And he makes a diak. He says that yaska is miloshim, you find saginar. It means big. You find it in the context of Godel. So he teaches that Ikvas HaMashiach chutz b'yaska, that the way you're going to become a Godel, the way a person is going to rise to power is with chutzpah. He says, once upon a time, how did you become a power? How did you become a president? How did you become a Rosh HaMimshalah? The way you became a president was through credentials. You had a resume, something that warranted that kind of position. But be'ikvas of the Mashicha, chutzpah yaska. You know you're going to become sagi? You know you're going to become big? You know you're going to become El Presidente? It's going to happen through chutzpah. So I think, you know, regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on, I think everybody could agree that this chutzpah yaska. Either way, Zokta Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Imer. Again, we try to take an apolitical stance on this daf. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, Darshem and David, by Beis Avad Yehlis Nus. Places where once upon a time people would gather to learn Torah, now is going to be a Mokim's Nus. Va'agalil Yechorev. And the Galil, that region of Eretz Yisrael, is going to be destroyed. Va'agavlon, Rashi says, it's a place, Yeshon, is going to be desolate. Va'anshei Gvul, the people that live on the border, the West Bank, Yisrael Me'ir Le'ir, they're going to be pushed from one side to the other side. V'lo Yechunenu, no one's going to have Rachmanus on them. V'chachmas Ha'sayfim Tisrach, chachmas that once upon a time people cherish, people put on a pedestal, certain chachamim, now suddenly no one's going to be machshav them. The yirei chet yimaso. Someone that's a yirei chet, someone that fears Hashem, instead of that person being respected, people are going to look down upon him. Upnei hador, kipnei hakelev, ayin v'achroimim. So many pshatim in that. Va'emes nederes, and truth is going to be lost. Shenemar, v'atiyah emes nederes, v'sor meira mishtoil. Look, the Gemara, my v'atiyah emes nederes, amid v'irav, malamit shenasa ador, madorim v'ilachisla. Truth, figuratively speaking, is going to gather together like flock of sheep, and they're all going to check out, take the tip, check out, and they're going to leave. Someone that's going to be sar meira, again, instead of respecting him, people are going to laugh at him. Zok to Gemara, fascinating story. Omar Rav, Reisha Vamino, I used to think, like a Kushtabalm, there's no truth anymore in the world, that today, there's no more emes. The Kotzker Rebbe used to say, the pasuk says, emes me eretz titzmach. He said, Abedaval licked his noch in the red. So Rabbi said, I felt the same way. Meresh Havamino, right? Kotzk was all about MS. Meresh Havamino, like a Kushtaba Alma. Amalei Hum Rabbanon, Rav Tov Shmai. But there was a Chacham. His name was Rav Tov. But Amri Lassam say Rav Tov Yumishmai. The Abbe Yavali Kochalali Da Alma. This person told me that if you would give me all the money in the world, like Havim Nishani Bidibure. So Rabbi said, I always thought there was no truth in the world till I met this person. He told me, not only am I truthful, but I would never tell, for all the money in the world, I wouldn't tell a lie. And then he told a personal story. I once came to a city, and the name of the city was Kushta. And everybody there told the truth. And amazingly, no one in that city ever died prematurely. And I married a girl from there. And had two sons with her. One day my wife was washing her hair. her neighbor came, Tarfa Dasha, she knocked on the door. She wanted to speak to my wife. But Tzavar, I thought, it's not nice for me to tell the neighbor what my wife is doing. He felt it wasn't sneeristic. Omar, so he lied. He said, Lesahacha, my wife's not home. So the Gemara says, that person, Shchivu Leitartim Benin. Said, two of my sons died. Asu Inish Dasul Kameda. People in the city heard that two children died. People died prematurely. They said, my high. There must be a reason for it. Nobody dies prematurely in our city. Omar Lohu. So he said, do you ever tell a lie? So I'll tell you the truth. I'm very machpin on telling the others. The only thing I can think of is that story. Hachi Avi Maisa. Amalei, they told me, Betusim Inach, please, we ask you, Puk Me'asrin, please move out of our city. We don't want you to bring the Malach HaMavis. We don't want you to bring this into our city. Unbelievable story. Tanya. Darsha Medavid Ba, the generation that Mashiach is going to come, the Na'arim, the children, are going to embarrass the elders. The Skenim Yamdu Lefnei Na'arim. And the Skenim are going to buy into it. They're not even going to protest. They're going to stand up for these children. Ubas Kama Bi'ima, a daughter, is going to speak Chutzpedig. Rashi says, Lecharfa Ulevaisha, to her mother. The Kala B'chamoisa, and a Shneer, to her Shviger. Upnei Adar Kipnei Akele, Ve'ina Ben Messiah Shmeyavav. And children are going to do things without even being embarrassed for their father. As if to say, once upon a time, a child, even if he did something wrong, but at least he had a sense of busha in front of his father, no less. But ve'ina ben mispayish meyof. Tanya b'lchem yoymer. Darshim medavid ba. Boy ha'azus tarbet. There's going to be a lot of chutzpah. V'ha'yoyker ya'aves. People aren't going to give covet. You see this theme? V'ha'gefen yitein periyoy. The gefen is going to give periyoy. Meaning there's going to be a lot of grapes and a lot of wine. And at the same time, v'ha'yayim b'yoyker. Wine is going to be very expensive. Rashi says tu pshatim. And in the second shot, Rashi says, the reason is because despite the fact that there's going to be so much wine, but as great as the supply is going to be, the demand is going to be that much greater, which is going to drive prices up. The nefcha kol ha-malchus la-minus, the entire malchus is going to turn into minus. The ein teichacha, no one's going to get mosus. The last thing is actually a right Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak, hey, midavad bachat ha-pik kol ha-malchus la-minus. Mashiach's not going to come until the entire malchus is going to turn into minus. Amar Rava, Rava said, Mikra, what's the makar? Kulay hafach lov and tarhu, a makar nifla. He said that we know that if someone has a nega, tzaras, he's a mitzayra. What if his entire body is covered with tzaras? He's not a mitzayra. If it was kulay hafach lovan, tarhu, he's going to be tar. So in the same sense, that once the entire malchus has minus, it's kulay hafach lovan, you know what's going to happen? Taharu, Mashiach is going to come. It's going to be Tana Rabbanon. The Pasuk says in Parshas Hazinu. So Parshas Hazinu is a very cryptic Parsha in the Torah. A lot of secrets, a lot of seidos. There's fester Rambans there. There's a lot going on. But either way, one of the Pasukim is, towards the end, Ki Yodin Hashem Amoy. Hashem is going to judge his nation. Val Avodov Yisnechom. And he's going to regret what he did to his avodim. And this part of Chazal understood as one of the remazim in the Torah of Iksav to the coming of Mashiach, that Hashem is going to judge his nation, but then he's going to feel bad. And what's going to trigger that? Meaning, what's going to trigger Hashem to have nechama, Hashem to finally say the time has come to bring Mashiach? Ki yira, when he's going to see ki ozlas yod the efes atzur va'azov. Question is, what does that mean? Zok to Gemara. What it means is, Ein Ben David Ba Ad Sheyirbu HaMesoyros, that when there are going to be people that are going to be Ozlas Yod, they're going to have strong hands, they're going to master against Klal Yisrael, it's at that time that Mashiach is going to come. Dover Achar, Ki Ozlas Yod. Ozal doesn't mean it's going to increase, to the contrary, it's going to decrease. Ad Sheyismatu HaTalmidim, when the Talmidim are going to wane, there isn't going to be so much Torah, Ki Ozlas Yod, that's when Mashiach is going to come. Dover Achar, Ad Sheyitichla Prutim Menakis, people aren't going to have money. Dover Achar, Ad Sheyishu Men HaGeula, when people start being miyayish from the Geula, it's precisely at that time that Mashiach is going to come. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ve'efes Otsur Ve'ozuv, Kaviyoch, when a person's going to have that feeling, he's going to be miyuyish, he's going to realize when the Yidden come together and they realize that nobody likes us and we have tzaris and alazaitin and the only hope that we have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they come to that akara, it's precisely then where Hashem says where Hashem is going to come around, and that's when the geula is going to come. Says the Gemara, classic Gemara, when Zera would see people trying to figure out when Mashiach Mashiach's going to come. They were getting very involved in Mashiach. Amalu, he would tell the Bematusa, I beg you, stop doing what you're doing. You want to know why? Because by you doing this, you're not being miyayish from the Geula. And we need you to be miyayish from the Geula. Because it's when you're miyayish from the Geula that Mashiach is going to come. But ina minaych loy terech hakua. You wanting Mashiach, you being busy with it. You know what that's doing? That's actually being merachik Mashiach from coming. What does that mean? That means you're not supposed to wait for Mashiach. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So maybe we'll have to get into that over the next couple of days. But says the Gemara, the Tonino, it's really a Braisa. Gimel Bam, the Hezchalach, there are three things that happen only when a person's Mashiach Das. Elohei, Mashiach, Mitziah, Va'akrit. Mashiach's going to come when we're Mashiach Das from Mashiach. When we're Miyayish, so to speak. A person finds a Mitziah when he just happens to stumble upon a mitzvah. That's almost what a mitzvah is by definition. And an akrev, when a person least expects it, boom, the nachash comes, the akrev comes, and it bites him. Either way, we're going to get to this at the end of the daf. So, we'll come back to it. The world was created for 6,000 years. At the end of the 6,000 years, what's going to happen? V'chad charev. For 1,000 years, the world is going to be charev. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'niskav Hashem levadei b'yoymahu. That there's going to be a yoymahu, someday in the future, where all there is going to be is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be V'niskav Hashem levadei. The Gemara is going to say in a moment that we know ki elef shanim be'inechas ki yoymesmo. So one day of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is really 1,000 years. So there's going to be a world for 6,000 years, and then it's going to be 1,000 years where all there's going to be is V'niskav Hashem levadei. Abaya said, Trei charev. No, there's really going to be 2 years where there's going to be nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yichayenu miyoymoyim, b'yoym ha'shlishi yikimenu, v'nichya lefanov. So there's going to be Yichayenu miyoymoyim, and it's after the yoymoyim, after 2 days, which is 2,000 years, it's after that that everything is going to come back again. Just like there's a concept of Shemitah, which happens every seventh year. So too, 6,000 years, and then the 7,000th is going to be an entire period of 1,000 years of Shemitah. So there's going to be 1,000 years where it's going to be v'niskav Hashem levadei. Shis alfi shni hava alma v'chad charev. So what does it mean exactly? V'chad charev. So pasha from reading the Gemara, it sounds like there's going to be nothing. It's going to be soyu v'vayu. All there's going to be is v'niskav Hashem levadei. But we're going to see not everybody holds that way. And again, we're going to get into that over the next couple of days. Either way, zok the Gemara vayta. Tonet ve'eliyo. With regards to what we just said, sheishes alafim shana hava alma. The world was created for 6,000 years. Shnei alafim, the first 2,000 years, tayu. The world is tayu. Shnei alafim tayra. The next 2,000 years, tayra. Shnei alafim yemais hamashiach. And the last 2,000 years are going to be yemais hamashiach. Says the Gemara, u'bavoyneseinu sherabu yotze mehem mashayotze. Meaning the 6,000 years to the world. And really, the last 2,000 years, from the year 4,000 onward, it could have, would have, and should have been Yemais HaMashiach. Unfortunately, we lost out. So we're going to have whatever's remaining. I mean, at this point, we're not playing with that many years. Until the year 6,000, until it's going to come to an end, until you're going to have the 1,000 years where it's going to be V'niskav Hashem Levadei. But really, in a perfect world, the way the world was set up, 2,000 years of Torah B'lei Torah, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Yemais HaMashiach. What happened in the year 2000 that the world went from being Toyu B'loi Torah to there being Torah? So it sounds like the year 2000 from Bria's Olam is a very significant year. So Rashi says, you know what happened in the year 2000? V'anefesh asher asu b'charon. This coming week's parasha, right in the beginning of parasha's Lech Lecha. So the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu, Sarah, Lloyd, v'anefesh asher asu b'charon, they all left Beis Terach, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecho, Me'eladetcho. So who were the v'nefesh asher asu b'charon? These were the people that Avram Avinu was Makarev. Avram Avinu was Makarev people. V'nefesh asher asu b'charon. Targum says these were the people that he was Meshabed Loi Raisa. Rashi quotes the Targum right here. And it was that time when Avram Avinu started being Makarev the Rechaikiv in the world at the time. That's when the world flipped. That's when we went from the 2,000 years of Toyo B'lai Torah, it's this the Torah in the world. And the truth is, if you think about it for a second, it's Sarachian. There was Torah before V'nefesh Hashos B'charon. You had the Yeshiva of Shein Ve'eva. Rashi brings in Parashas Noach. Then Noach learned Torah. V'yisal l'chanoich ha'solikim. So there's nothing to talk about. There was Torah even before the year 2000. So What does it mean that it was Dafka from the year 2000? It's over there. Vanefesh Asha Asa Bechara. Now this Torah. So I don't know. But it sounds like, just from reading the Gemara, from understanding Rashi, that until the Torah was available to the masses, it was considered that there was no Torah. There were people learning Torah. There were yeshivas. But you know what Avraham Avinu did? Avraham Avinu took Torah and he made it available to everybody. Vanefesh Asha Asa Bechara. It wasn't just some elite people that were sitting in a yeshiva somewhere learning Torah. It was now something that was accessible to the entire world. Now you could say that the world has Torah. But there's another Rashi over here. Another very important Rashi that you can't go by without mentioning. And we've mentioned this Rashi many, many, many times. But again, and that is, says Rashi, so you have 2,000 years, there was Torah below Torah. 2,000 years is Torah. And the last 2,000 years is Yemei Samashiach. It sounds a little bit like from the year 4,000 to the year 6,000 is the original Torah. 2,000 years are unique, Torah below Torah. There's 2,000 years that are unique, Torah. Then there's 2,000 years that are unique, are Yemei Samashiach. So doesn't it sound like in the last 2,000 years there's going to be no Torah? Says Rashi, yeah, it does sound like that. And I could see why somebody would make a mistake. It's a Torah's God. There's nothing to talk about that there's Torah in the year 5, 7, 7, 8. We're sitting now, we're learning Torah. That's what we're doing. So obviously there's Torah. So what does it mean that the last 2,000 years are Yemei Samashiach? What it means is that in addition to them being years of Torah, those are going to be years of Yemei Samashiach. But if you like it, take a look at the Marsha and the Chedush HaGadol. The Marsha says that Rashi is very dochuk. It's not mashma that way. So Rashi says the Marsha is nishrichtig, that really in the last 2,000 years there was no Torah at all. Says the Marshal, why? Because in the last 2,000 years we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And being that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says it's an Eichon, Malka V'Sareah, Bagoyim, ain't Torah. That when Klal Yisrael went to Golus, we lost Torah. The Goyim says the same thing. The Vilna Goyim says that, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash was Chorav, we lost Amud of Avodah. But really the Goyim said we lost two Amudim. We lost Amud of Avodah, and we lost Amud of Torah. Malka V'Sareah, Bagoyim, we lost Avodah, there's no Beis HaMikdash, but also ain't Torah. He says, that's why we say, Yerotzen She'ibana Beis HaMikdash, B'mehir B'yameinu V'sein Chalkeinu B'Zayir Zecha. Because when we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to come back, we're going to be Zeich to get the Torah again. So it's true, we have Torah again. But on some level, ain't Torah. Malka V'Sareah, Bagoyim, ain't Torah. And it comes out then that each there was Shleimus HaTorah for 2,000 years. From Vanefesh HaShe'asa B'Choron until Churban Beis HaMikdash. But in the last 2,000 years, despite the fact we have Torah, but there's a Bechina of Malka V'Sareah, Bagoyim, ain't Torah. And that's why the Gemara could say that the last 2,000 years are Yemei Samashiach, but not years of Torah. But fake the Marsha, if that's true, I have a little bit of a problem. Because if you do the math, the Beis HaMikdash was really destroyed 172 years before the year 4000. If that's the case, it's not 2,000 years. Really, 172 years earlier, there should have been no Torah. Because if the reason, says the Marsha, I'm telling you, there's no Torah in the last 2,000 years, because Malka was a rabbi, amen, Torah. Because the Beis HaMikdash was Chariv. When was the Beis HaMikdash Chariv? 172 years earlier. So there should really be 172 years earlier where there's no Torah. And says the Heligan Marsha, we've spoken at the rate of the Marsha in the past, but just the words of the Marsha. Says the Marsha as follows. It's true. But, however, Mikomokai, Kuf Ayim Beis Shodim Acher Bayesheni, for the 172 years after Bayesheni, Mikri Adayim Miosh Nois Torah. It was considered that there was Torah in the world. Ki Oz Hayudara Tanah, because there were Tanahim alive. Vadayim Lo Nisdaldu HaYeshivas, and there were Yeshivas. As a matter of fact, the Yeshivas continued Ad Shemes Rebbe, until Rebbe passed away. The Govar Agolus, the Rabu Atzorois, the Kolu Yumei Torah. Umishon Ve'elach, it's from then on, Mitoich Agolus Vatzorois, Pachalois Ezman, Rabu Lovim Mashiach, Vime Chevli Mashiach Mikri, Gepir Shrashi, etc., etc. So says the Marsha that it's true Malka V'Sareah Bagoyim really happened 172 years before the year 4000. And based on that, it's precisely then that there should have been no Torah. But since there were Tanoim and there were Yeshivas, it was not considered Malka V'Sareah Bagoyim. The Yidden were in Golos, but they were still in Eretz Yisrael. And they didn't lose the Torah. You know when they lost the Torah? When Rebbe died. Nistaldu HaYeshivas, it's at that point we can say that it was actually Neskayim. Malka V'Sareah Bagoyim ain't Torah. So there's a lot of places we could go with this, but just one ha'ara that I heard from the Rav Shlita, Rabbi Shuava. He said that the Pasuk says in Parshas Toldos, and these are the Parshas HaShavua, for these weeks. The Acher Ken Yotza Achiv, the Yodai Oichezes Ba'akev Esav. So Rivka gives birth to twins, Yaakov and Esav. And the babies come out, and Yaakov is holding on to Akev Esav. So he said a davar nora. Who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash? Esav. When Esav destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, Edom, really it was Malkov Asareh Bagoyim main Torah. But Yaakov was holding on to Akev Esav. Yaakov is the Amud HaTorah. Akev. Gematria, Ayin Kuf Veis. 172. Yaakov held on to Esav at Giganvit Vin Esav. Because really the Golas should have started right then and there. Right then it should have been Golas. But Yodei Echezes Bekav Esav with Amura Torah of Yaakov, even though technically the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, but still we were able to live as if we weren't in Golas. That's the V'yodei Echezes Bekav Esav Zokta Gemara Vayit. We have a lot more about Mashiach to learn. Omale Eliyo Lirav Yehuda Achu Lirav Salo. Presumably, Eliyahu Hanavi tells Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Salah, that you should know that when Hashem created the world was going to exist not less than 85 yovels, which, if you do the math, is 4,250 years. In the last yovel, Ben David bo Amalei betchilase b'soif, in the beginning of the yovel, the end of the yovel, Amalei eni yodeya. He said, "Kala or eni kala? Will the yovel be finished or not finished?" It's not clear what the difference is between the two questions. Amalei again, eni yodeya. Rav Ashi says, "This is what he told. Ad hachaloi tistachi." Doesn't mean Mashiach's going to come in the year 4,250, but what it means is up until that time, you shouldn't even be hoping for Mashiach to come. Come the elach, that's when you can roll your sleeves off, that's when you can start hoping for Mashiach. It's the Kilei Sholach, the Rav Chanan bar Tachlifo, the Rav Yosef. Matzasi Yodam Echad, I met a person, Rav Yodai, Megillah Achas, Ksuva Ashuris. He said, I met a person, and he had a Megillah, he had a scroll, and it was written in Ashuris for Lashon HaKodesh. It was written the way our Sifrei Torah written. Omarta, I told him, where you got this from? Amalei, he told him, Chayolah Shol Rebbe Niskarti, I was working for the Roman army, Uben Ginzei Rebbe Mitzasiyah, so I was tapped in, went into the Vatican, and he said, I was able to pull out this relic. So he has this scroll that's written Beloshen HaKodesh. It's B'Ksav Ashuris. And he said, "V'Kosabah." It said, "La'achadal la'alofin u'masayim v'tishin ve'echod shana." At the end of 4,291 years, the Briyasa Shaloylam Ha'ulam Yitoyim. The world is going to stop being the way it is. There's going to be wars amongst fish. And at the end of the Moshe Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will again start the world when? The end of 7,000 years, which is Matim, with the Shita that we had earlier in the Gemara, that there will be 6,000 years, 1,000 years of Finiska Vashem Levadai, and then we're going to start. Something is going to start again. It wasn't 4,291 years, but rather it was 5,291 years. Another Gemara. Tanya. Rav Nosson Noimer, Mikrozeh, the following Pasik, Noikev, V'yoyred, Atabahai. This Pasik, said Rav Nosson, that I'm about to tell you, it's a Pasik in Habakkuk, Perek Beis, it's like the Tahoyim. What does that mean? It's okay, like Rashi. Ma Tahoyim ain't like Kates V'soiv, just like the Tahoyim. Has no kates v'soif, kach ein adam yochay lamed al soif pasuk zeh. It's impossible for a person to get the soif, the true meaning, the end of this pasuk. So this pasuk is as mysterious as the Tahayim. What's the pasuk? The pasuk says, ki oid chazoyim l'mayed. You've heard that quoting. Ki oid chazoyim l'mayed, Habakkuk says. This is going to be another nevuah. V'yofeach l'kates. This is a nevuah that's going to speak about the kates, when Mashiach is going to come. V'lo yechazif. It's not going to lie. It's going to be true. Im yismameh, and even if it feels like it's taking so long until we get to that point, chakeloi, wait for it. Ki vo yavoi lo yaacher. It's going to come, lo yaacher. It won't delay. So said Rav Nosson, this pasuk is where it's at. You want to know when Mashiach's coming, it's in this pasuk. But, giving you a heads up, here's the disclaimer, you're not going to figure it out. Because Mikra Zeh is Noike V'yoyred Ate Behoim. And like Rashi says, Ma Tehoim Ein Loikates V'soif, Kach Ein Adam Yochel Lamoid Al Soif Pasuk Zeh. Says the Gemara. And Rav Nosson said, Loike Rabbi Seinu Shoye Darshim. I know there were Rabbi Seinu that used to darshin a pasuk in Daniel Perek Zayin, where the pasuk said, Ad Idon V'idonin Uplag Idon. And they thought that that pasuk was the Shlissel. That was the Mafteach for when Mashiach was supposed to come. He said, V'lo k'rab simloi, not like simloi. Sh'yidoi, she used to dash on the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Pei. The pasuk says, Hechautom lechem dima, v'tashkemoi bidma'i sholosh. And he thought that that pasuk was the shlissel that said when Mashiach was going to come. Also wrong. For like Rabbi Akiva, and also not like Rabbi Akiva. Show you Doirish. Here's the dash in a pasuk in Chagai Perik Beis, where Chagai said, "Oid achas ma'ati, v'ani marish es hashemayim v'sa'oretz v'sayom v'sacharova." As if to say it was a short period of time, and then Mashiach was going to come. All three got it wrong. You want to know which pasuk is the pasuk? It's not Daniel Perik Zayin, it's not the Hillel Perik Pei, and it's not Chagai Perik Beis. It's Habakkuk Perik Beis. That's the pasuk. Ki oid chazoin lemoyed, fi yofeach laketz, fi lo yichazek, im yismamo chakeloi, ki vo yovoi lo yaach. Like Rashi says, that matohoi mei loketz v'soif, so too, it's impossible to figure out what the case was. But what were these other zmanim, these other psukim over here? Daniel Perek Zayin, Tilik Perek Pei, and Chagai Perek Pei. So there's long Rashi's over here where Rashi explains all of them. Rashi says, the first pasuk, Ad Idon, the Idonim Uplag Idon. So the Rabbi Seiru thought that nevuah of Daniel was coming to say when the case was going to be. Idon was referring to the length of Golas Mitzrayim. Golas Mitzrayim was how long? Golas Mitzrayim was 400 years. Edon then would be 400 years. The Edonim would be 2 times 400, which is 800. Uplag Edon would be half of an Edon, which would be 200. So it would be 400 plus 800 is 1200, plus 200 would be 1400. So the Rabbi Seiru darshan that pasuk of Daniel, thinking that this last Golas would be 1400 years. So 1,400 years, that's what it was going to be, based on that pasuk, but the Braisa says, Tanya Rav Nosson Oimer, that's the wrong pasuk. They got it wrong. What was the pasuk of Rav Simloi? Hechaltom lechem dima, vatashkemoi bidemoi sholish. So Rashi says, they took the two Golias that Klal Yisrael had previously, right? This Golas is the third Golas. First was Golas Mitzrayim. Second was Golas Bavel. And now this last Golas. Golas Mitzrayim was 400 years. Golas Bavel was 70 years. So they thought that it's 400 plus 70, 470. And that's Demo'i Shalish. That represents one third of what the final Golas was going to be. So you take 470, you multiply it by 3, you get 1410. And that's what they thought the number was going to be. But that was wrong as well. What was Rabbi Akiva's? Rabbi Akiva said, "Ayud achas ma'ati." He thought it was going to be a short amount of time that the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed, and within a very brief amount of time, the Beis Hamikdash was going to be rebuilt. By the way, that's Rabbi Akiva l'shitasa. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba was Mashiach. It was because Bar Kochba lived 52 years after Churban Beis Hamikdash. So says the Gemara, they all got it wrong. But by the way, the Gemara elaborates a little bit, and the Gemara says that what is really pshat in that nevuah of Chagi Ayud achas ma'ati vani maris es shemayim v'sa'oretz, what it was referring to was the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, meaning Bizman Bayis Rishon there was a Malchus. He had Malchus Yehuda. We spoke a lot about Malchus Giyah, right? The Yidden had Malachim, but then they lost it. But at the same time, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Bayisheni, which is when Chagai lived, which is when he said his Nevuah. Nevuah's Chagai is about Bayisheni. So when he said his Nevuah, he said there's going to be a little, there'll be pockets of Malchus. There'll be Malchus Rishon Shivim Shana. Rashi says, referring to the Chashminon. The Chashminon would rule for 70 years. Malchus Shniyah Chamishim Vishnayim. The Malchus of Hurdus, of Herod, would be 52 years. And Malchus ben Kuziba, Malchus bar Koichva, which would be Shnei Shalom Mechsa, which would be 2.5 years. Now Rashi asks a very obvious kasha. If you're a Chatzi history buff, or if you learned Davi Zara Daftes, and the Medrash Rabbah that the Ramban quotes in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze and other sources, you would know that really, really, Malchus Chashmonoi lasted 103 years, and Malchus Hurdis lasted 103 years as well. So here you have 70 and 52. It's not 70 and 52. It's 103 and 103. It's 206 years combined, not 122 years combined. So Rashi says you have to say that not the entire 103 years of Malchus Chashmonoi could you say that Klal Yisrael was really in control. And Hurdis also. Hurdis was a madman. Hurdis goes down in our history as being a very bad person. The Romans call him Herod the Great. We don't call him Herod the Great. We call him Hurdis the Rasha. The day that he died is mentioned in Megillus Tainus as a day you're not allowed to make a spade, you're not allowed to fast. It was one of the spoils. It was a Hanukkah. It was a real yontif the day that Hurdis died. But either way, out of his 103 years, we digress, 52 of those years were considered years that Klal Yisrael were really in control. But either way, Zok de Gemara, that's what those psukim. So we brought the pasuk. Ki oid chazoin lemoyed v'yafeach Lakates, Veloyichazev, Im Yismama Chakeloi Kivoy Yavoy, Loyacher. So the Pasik says, Vyofeach Lakates. What does that mean? My Vyofeach Lakates, Veloyichazev, Oram Shumanach Minerim Yenis, and Tipach, Atzmon Shal Mechashvi Kitzin. It's a Loshen Klolo. And you know who's being cursed? The people that try to figure out when Mashiach's going to come. Shall you, Oram? People used to say,
that kivan shegias akets v'lo ba shomei neba. People would sit down. They would make cheshbonis. They would think they figured it out. They know Mashiach is going to come. And then Mashiach wouldn't come, and they would think he's not coming anymore. So therefore, says the Gemara, tipach nafts atzman shal mechad shvekets el mechakela. You have to wait for Mashiach. Shenema im yismam mechakela. It's the next part of the Shema. Tamer onu mechakev v'enu mechakev. You're going to think that maybe we're waiting for Mashiach to come, but Hashem is not on the same team as ours. He's not waiting for Mashiach. Hamalaymano, the pasuk says, "V'lachein yichaka Hashem lachananchem, v'lachein yorum lirachem pchem." No, Hashem is waiting just like we're waiting. Mi ma'akev, says the Gemara, "V'chimiachash anu mechakev v'mechakev mi ma'akev." So what's the problem? We want Mashiach to come. Hashem wants Mashiach now. So who doesn't want Mashiach now? Says the Gemara, "Midas hadin ma'akevus." It's the midas hadin that's mi ma'akev. Speak the Gemara, the man of Shach. V'chimiachash emidas adin me'akeves onu lomu mechakin. The kabel schar shenemar ashrei kol choycheloi. Because even if we know that maybe Mashiach can't come, but at the same time, ashrei kol choycheloi, the schar that a person is going to get for waiting for Mashiach is going to be gevaldik. So either way, we have some classic Gemaras over here. We have to speak out a little bit of rate. So just two ha'aras on what we just said. The first is, the pasuk says, "V'yofeach laketz v'lo yechazev." What does that mean? Tipach atzman shal mechashvei kitzin. So in Margolis Hayama, this Gemara says that the Gemara gave a reason. Why are you not let it be mechashvei the kitz? So the Gemara says because people used to be mechashvei the kitz, and then if Mashiach didn't come, they started getting all bent out of shape. They were worried. How come Mashiach didn't come? Oh, he's not coming. So it's for that reason, tipach atzman shal mechashvei kitz. It says in Margolis Hayam, it's a little bit mashmah from the Gemara, that if you had a person that was a tzaddik, he was a chassid, he was a gadol, and there's no concern that by him trying to figure out Mashiach comes, and Mashiach not coming on that date, that it's going to shake his amunah to the core, it could be it's something that would be okay. So I'll read to you what he writes. He says, "Bagoisai l'shailus hachuvas min hashamayim." Rabbeinu Yaakov Mimiroish. Rabbeinu Yaakov Mimiroish wrote Shailos Hatshuvas Min HaShemayim. He used to write Shailos, he would have dreams and he would get answers, and he wrote a whole sefer, Min HaShemayim. So the Margolis Hayam wrote a chibur, he wrote Hagoyis, on the Shailos Hatshuvas Min HaShemayim. And he brings over there in Simen Ayim Beis, Harbe Asirioi Svarim. So literally, tens and dozens of Svarim, B'min Chazal, B'Pirkid Rabbi Eliezer, V'Zoyar, Hagoyinim, Rashi, Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra, HaRambam, V'Rambam, V'Achreim, Harbe Megidol Yisrael, Shehishtadmu They tried to figure out Limsoy Smuch and Lamasas Nafshon when exactly Mashiach was going to come. And says Margolis Hayam, Rabbi Reuven Margolis, that even though the Gemara just said Tipach Atzman Shom Mechashvekeitz, you have to say they must have made this diak. They must have felt that even though it's something that you aren't not supposed to do, but it's only for someone that you're concerned that when Mashiach not coming, you're going to think Enoipa. But if you're not concerned, it could be something that you don't have to worry about. But it's Yodua, the Malbim, when he wrote his Pirish on Daniel, at the end of his Pirish on Daniel, he had a little expose, and in his expose, he made a cheshbon. He thought he figured out when Mashiach was going to come. And the date that he thought Mashiach was going to come was 1917. So he had it figured out. He said Mashiach was going to come in the year 1917. Lamaisa, he made a tremendous rash. The Malbim was one of the Gedolei Hadar. And there was a tremendous tumult. How could the Malbim go and tell the world when Mashiach is going to come? He had a real date, 1917. Tipachatzin shomachash v'keitz. We know that it's something you're not allowed to do. And he was getting bombarded from so many different places that finally the Malbim decided that he's going to have to put out a kolkoira that's going to be spread out. B'chol tfutzos Yisrael. He's going to explain himself. Why is it that he did something so controversial where he came out with a real date when he thought that Mashiach was going to come? Incidentally, this Kol Koira exists today. It's in a museum in Prague. So there's a museum in Prague that actually has an original copy of this Kol Koira that the Malbim put out trying to explain himself. And he explained it with a Maisa Shahaya. He said that there was a person who lived in Bucharest. Sounds like in Hungary somewhere. But there was a person that lived in Bucharest where he himself was rough. And he was a great gvir. He was a tremendous gvir. He had a ben yochid. And this ben yochid, he made a big bar mitzvah for him. And his bar mitzvah, he said, a pshetel that was half of a fella. All the charifim and all the big lumdim in the shtetl, they were all in this spa. Wow, this big gvir has such a son. They couldn't get over it. And the father was just so, he was just so proud of his son. So he told the son that I'm going to give you a present. The present's going to be, he says, the next time I go to the big shuk in Leipzig, so I'm going to take you along with me. But he said, I'm warning you, my son, it's a very long trip. It's going to take 3 to 4 weeks until we get there. And if you're up to it, if you're mature enough, you're not going to kvetch, you're not going to complain, I'm willing to take you along. Either way, Malbum said, father and the son, they go together, and he described it in beautiful detail. And the mother, she's crying, she doesn't know if she's going to see her son again. It was dangerous, it wasn't going to be easy, and they start going. It was a half hour into the drive. The son turns to his father. He says, Abba, tell me, are we there yet? So he turns and says, I told you it's going to be a long trip. 2 days later, are we there yet? And the father gave a zagishrei that the kid sat there quietly like a tatula. He was afraid. He didn't want to say anything. His father was so angry at him for asking him, are we there yet? He says, they're traveling for 3.5 weeks. And the father turns to the balagula and he says, balagula, Rabbi, tell me, are we there yet? So, and he says, no, we're almost there. So the son turns to the father and he just musters up the chutzpah. He says, I don't understand. He said, when I asked you, are we there yet? You gave me such a scream. So you just did the same thing. Had you have a right to do it? And he turned to him, he said, my entire yingala. He says, you don't understand. We got in the chariot. I told you, we're going to be on the road for 4 weeks. A half hour in, you started fetching. I told you it was going to be long. I told you it wasn't going to be easy. You told me you were up to it. A half hour in, you already want to know if we're there yet. A day, 2 days. He says, but now we've been traveling already 3.5 weeks. We're close. We can't be too far from Leipzig. At this point, it's actually appropriate for me to ask, are we there yet? At the Malbim gesagt, he said that Chazal told us that the last Golus is going to be a long, bitter, shvera Golus. And right after the Golus, there were people that started sitting down. Mashiach's coming tomorrow. He's coming the next day. He's going to be in a month, in a year, in 5 years. Hashem told you it's going to be a long road. Tipach atzman shal mechatz v'keitz. He said, but Rabbi said, we've been in Golus for close to 2,000 years. He said, at this point, we're so close. We're almost in Leipzig. He says, now already it's appropriate for us to ask, are we there yet? Is Mashiach here yet? Hafla fella. That's the first aura. The second aura is, so the Gemara said that we want Mashiach. Because Baruch Hu wants Mashiach, so fake the Gemara, so me ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Midas Adin ma'akeves. The Midas Adin is what's being ma'akev. So I'm going to tell you a Dover Nifla that the Shach said. He said it be'ikr, b'shem Darizal, but something unbelievable. We all know that Malchus Beis David comes from Rus HaMoyaviyah. Now, Rus was a Moyavia. And as a result, when she converted into Judaism, it was very, very questionable. Because really, the pasuk says, Lo Yovay Amoyni Mayavi Bekal Hashem. Mayavi, Voloy Mayavia, Amoyni, Voloy Amoynes. It was a big tumult. Dayagadoymi, the Gemara Masechtes Yevamos. It was very, very, very questionable. And the question begs itself, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want that David HaMelech, Mashiach, Malchus Beis David, why would it make sense that they should come from such a questionable Judaism? I mean, at first glance, it doesn't seem to make any sense. If you want to take it back even further, who does David HaMelech come from? With Shevet, it comes from Yehuda. Yehuda had his children from whom David HaMelech came through Tamar. Tamar was Yehuda's daughter-in-law. It was questionable. Read the story of Parshas Vayeshev. So how does it make sense that David HaMelech, Malchus Beis David, Mashiach ben David, the ultimate Geula, is going to come through Zivugim that at first glance seemed to be very, very questionable? So the Shach said, Mesoira, B'Shem Darizal, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that when Mashiach is going to be born, the Mekatrigim are going to be fast. And Midas Adin is going to come and he's going to do everything it could possibly do to try to make Mashiach not come, because maybe Klal Yisrael is not worthy. And the Midas Adin is going to be so strong. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that he had no choice but to disguise on some level the coming of Mashiach. So you know what Hashem did? Hashem made that Mashiach is going to come from the descendants of Rus HaMoyaviyah. Mashiach is going to come from a Zivug like Yehuda and Tamar. Now who in the world would ever think that Mashiach would come from something? Nobody. And it's for that reason that the Midas Adin is not going to think it either. And being that the Midas Adin isn't going to think it either, it's for that reason Hashem is going to be able to sneak it in, and that's ultimately how Mashiach is going to come. So, but the Les Breira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to make Mashiach come through questionable circumstances, so that the Midas Adin, the Satan, would never chol mind that through this Zivug Mashiach is going to come, and it's precisely in that way that Mashiach eventually is going to be able to come. HaTeshach Gezok, that the same exact thing is true with regards to our Gemara. The Gemara said the three things that come to Hesach Hadas. The three, what are the three things? Mashiach, the Metziah, and an Akrev. Why does, what does it mean Mashiach is going to come Mashiach Chadash? So Pasha, you'll learn the Gemara. The Gemara means we're going to be Mashiach Das. When we're going to not be thinking about Mashiach, it's precisely that Mashiach is going to. It's a much tiefer thing. You know what it means? It means Hesach Hadas from the Mekatrik. We're going to have to try to do it in a way where the Midas Adin is not going to think that Mashiach is coming. It's only then that it's going to happen. But it's all going to be Mitoich Hesach Hadas. Mitoich Hesach Hadas. So I'll tell you something interesting. That there's this idea you find by the Tzadikim, they used to talk about by the Chassidim, by the Rebbes. They always have to bavar the Midas Adin, right? Midas Adin is a real thing. And a person should try to do things to try to bavar the Midas Adin. I tell you, I saw brought down that the Sarshulami Bells, the Eshte Bells of Rebbe, Sarshulam said that he once had a dream. And in his dream, he met the Noam Elimelech. And he was talking and learning to the Noam Elimelech. And he asked him the following question. He says, we know that when Yidden came to the Yamsuf, so the Pasuk says that Yidden started davening. And what does Hashem say? Matitza Kelai, Dabra B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael. Hashem tells Moshe, now you're davening? What are you davening for? Dabra B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael. And it's a pella. The Pasuk doesn't make any sense. What else is Yidden supposed to do when he's an Esau? He's not supposed to daven? Of course he's supposed to daven. L'chur, the Yidden did. Rashi says, Tafsu Umnas Avosam. L'chur, they did the right thing. So what does the Pasuk mean? Matitza Kelai, Dabra B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael. That's the kasha that the Sarshulim asked the Noam Elimelech in his dream. And the Rebbe Melech told him a very important yesod. And he told it to him with a mashal. He said that there was once a king whose wife was ready to give birth. She was supposed to have a baby. And what happened was there were people that didn't like the king. And these people had a koyach hakishuv. So they started doing kishuv to make it that this woman wouldn't be able to give birth. And as a result, this queen is in this prolonged labor and she's suffering with sorrows and it was terrible, it was very, very difficult for her. She's not having a baby. And the reason she's not having a baby is because the kishuf machers were doing their thing to make it that she shouldn't be able to have a child. And the king didn't know what to do. So he went to his advisors and he asked his picker, he said, what should I do? He says, I have an idea. Spread the word that your wife had a baby, that there's a mazel tov coming to the king. You know what's going to happen? When they hear that the king already had a baby, that the queen already gave birth, they're going to stop doing their thing. Because what's the point? There's no point in doing their thing because the queen already gave birth. The queen already gave birth to a baby. And that's what they did and it worked. But the Rebbe of Meilach Gezuk, that when the Yidden came to the Yam Suf, the Mekatrik, the Midas Adin came, and the Midas Adin did not want the Yidden to have this miracle. No way in the world. So Hashem turns to Moshe and he tells Moshe, Chevi, you're making a mistake. You're davening. The Midas Adin hears the Tfilos. And you know what the Midas Adin is doing when they hear the Tfilos? Midas Adin is being Mekatrik. No, don't answer the Tfilos. That's not good. You know what you should do? Act as if the tefillahs were already answered. Act as if you already got the green light. Spring around in the Yam Suf. And you know what's going on when you spring around? The Midas Adin is going to take his foot off the pedal. And as soon as the Midas Adin takes his foot off the pedal, then everything is going to be able to play itself out. So the Yisoid of Matitza Kelai Dabra when they showed the Yisoid, that was the way of getting the Midas Adin. You're fooling the Midas Adin. Let him think that it was already answered. And like this, you're going to be able to get what it is that you're supposed to get. So the Chassidim used to say, that you, when a person wants shefa, you're supposed to act as if it already happened. Act as if you're a gvir. Ask if you're a shisa already. Don't wait for it to happen. Fake it till you make it. Because otherwise, the Midas Adin is going to say, you don't have this. He's not going to let you have it. But you have to play with the Midas Adin. Either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's playing with the Midas Adin. That's the yisoid that Mashiach is going to come. Mitechesach Hadas from the Mekatrik. Mitechesach Hadas from the Midas Adin. That's when Mashiach is going to come. Because if the Midas Adin thinks that Mashiach is supposed to come and he's never going to let it happen. That's the only way it's going to be able to play itself out. I saw in the Sefer Ema Bonim Semecha, he says a Dover Nifla, he says that there's a Peladiga Rashi. Rashi says in Divrei HaYomim, I lost it. The Pasuk says in Divrei HaYomim Aleph, Perik Beis Pasuk Dalet. V'tomer kalosa yoldolo yes peretz vezerach. So, right, if you ever go through Divrei HaYomim, Chronicles, we're just chronicling, that's what it sounds like at first glance, Jewish history. So, we come to Yehuda. Yehuda was married to Tamar, or through Tamar, had two sons, Peretz and Zerach. But the Pasuk says, V'tomer kalosoi yoldoloi es peretz vezerach. Listen to Rashi's Lashon. This is a Rashi in Divrei HaYomim Aleph, Perik Beis, Pasuk Dalet. Tomia ani. Rashi, where do you see Rashi ask a kasha like this? Tomia ani. Heich masker gnus skenosa yishol David. Why would the Torah say that? It's true. Tamar was kalasai shal Yehuda. Nobody's denying that. We're very open about it. But we have to like rub it in. What do we have to rub it in for? Why do we have to say that? Why does the pasuk say that Tamar kalasai yodolai is peretz ve'ezerach? Why is that necessary? So said Rabbi Yisachar Shleim b'taych al half of a fellow. Because that's the whole punchline. Because it was through Tamar that peretz and zerach came. And the reason peretz and zerach were able to come was dafka because it was kalasai. Because it was mitaych hesach adas. Because we caught the Midas Adin sleeping behind the wheel, because otherwise it would have never been able to happen. So the emphasis over here is the Tamar Kalosa. Yodolei is Peretz Bezer. Either way, there's so much more to talk about. Bezer Hashem over the next couple of days.